different. If you look at certain words like the Lord your God, okay? If you look at that, the way that that word is structured, God is talking directly to each individual person. He's not talking to a collective group. So any of you who know about the endings that you can put on nouns, that ending, ha, like if I said lecha, that would be to you individually, okay? But so God is talking individually to each person. So it's as if God is right there talking directly to each individual person. Because if we go back and look at chapter 19, it says that the people heard thunderings. And you know that that word is the word kolot, voices. So everybody was hearing God speak in their own language. So each person was hearing God speak directly to them. And the words that he was using, he was speaking not collectively, but individually. He was saying, you remember the Sabbath. You remember the Sabbath. You remember the Sabbath. Each individual person, remember the Sabbath. Verse 11. Actually, I didn't finish verse 10. It says, in it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. So, who does that exclude anybody? I think we got everybody covered. So, everybody is to keep the Sabbath, even the stranger who's within the gates. And that would be the person who's chosen to join themselves to Israel. And that's a picture of us being grafted in. So, when God says, remember the Sabbath, he's not just saying, casually remember it as you're going about your day. He's saying, do it. Remember it. Retell it. Verse 11, for in 6 days, here's why. Here's why it's so important to God. 6 days. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the Sabbath day, seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Okay? I want you to look at those words, blessed and hallowed. And if you want to underline them, underline them. Those words are all in that strong emotion PL form of the verb. So when he said the Lord blessed it, he didn't just casually bless it. He didn't just okay, I blessed it. He blessed it. He, with the strongest sense of the word, he blessed the Sabbath day. He strongly blessed it. The word hallowed, it comes from the word kadosh. He strongly hallowed the seventh day. So when we look at the structure of those words in the Hebrew, God is not just gingerly going about his business saying, yeah, you can keep it if you want to. I blessed it. I hallowed it. He's pounding that fist saying, I set it apart. I sanctified it. I hallowed it. So if it's this important to God, how important should it be to us? Because he's wanting us to know his heart. He's wanting us to know how important this is to him. So I hope everybody was able to see, you know, from the structure of these words, God is very adamant about the Sabbath day. And there's no way possible that you can say a Sabbath of the Lord in according to the Hebrew structure. Let's go to Exodus 31. Verses 12 through 17. Verse 12 says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. All right, did you catch anything when he says, surely, whose Sabbaths? My Sabbaths. He says, my Sabbaths. They're mine, according to God. He says, they're my Sabbaths. And they're for you to keep, shamar, guard, protect, like to treat as valuable. For it is a sign. That word sign in Hebrew is ot. That it's a sign. It's like the wedding ring. It's a sign of the covenant between God and between man. And it goes on to talk about that sign of that covenant. Kind of like the, I've got a few examples here. Let's look at Genesis chapter 9 really quickly. Genesis chapter 9, verse 12. And we're going to look at that word ot for just a minute. And how it's used. Genesis chapter 9, verse 12. And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant, the oath that I made with the people, which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations." And what was that oath or that sign that he used after the flood? The rainbow. And if you look forward to Revelation, you can see that that rainbow is around his throne. All right, Genesis 17. Look at one more instance of the word oat and how it's related to a covenant. Genesis 17, verse 11. And this is talking about physical circumcision. It says, verse 11, "And you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign," there's that word oat, "sign of the covenant between me and you." So God is really big on covenant. And so if we go back to Exodus 31, the Sabbath is a oat or a sign of the covenant between he and his people. So he's saying, "Surely my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you." So that's what the Sabbath is. It's a sign that we know the Lord, and he is the Lord who sanctifies us. Verse 14, "You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest," a Shabbaton, "holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall be put surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a what? A perpetual covenant, a brit olam. Brit being covenant, olam being perpetual. What else can that word olam mean? Forever. So it's a forever covenant. So literally he's saying that this is a forever covenant, the Sabbath is. Not a forever until Christ dies on the cross, then we're under a new law. He's saying it's a forever covenant, a perpetual olam. Verse 17, "It is a sign," but and here he goes again. He's saying it again. If they didn't hear it the first time, he's going to tell them again. "It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever." Leolam. "For, because," here's why, "in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." So God is trying to drive home that point that he set up this Sabbath as a sign between he and his people because he worked 6 days and rested on the seventh day, setting up that pattern for us. But there's more to it, like I said, than just physical rest. There's more to it than that. Let's go to Exodus 35. Exodus 35. We're going to read verses 1 through 3. These are more specific regulations of the Sabbath. It's not an exhaustive list, but it's given to us to know what God requires of us to do on the Sabbath. Exodus 35, starting at verse 1, it says, "Then Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said to them, 'These are the words which the Lord has commanded you to do. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh shall be a holy day for you, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. You shall kindle no fire throughout your dwellings on the Sabbath day.'" So we're given some regulations. Number one, work may be done 6 days. Number two, do not work on the Sabbath day, because there's that Sabbath of rest again, that phrase Shabbaton, which we're going to be looking at that phrase in just a moment. And then number three, it says, do not kindle or light a fire. In other words, make your preparations in advance. So if you think about it, God doesn't want us on doing things on the Sabbath that we could have done in advance. So that's what he's wanting us to really get that point across. So I know it's not an exhaustive list, but God sets it up for us. He doesn't want us to work on the Sabbath. He doesn't want us to kindle a flame. Make your preparations in advance for the Sabbath is what he's saying. And that also has a spiritual aspect to it too. So I want y'all to just kind of think about that for a minute. Make your preparations in advance. Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23 is talking about the feasts of the Lord. Just look up to verse 1 really quickly, and it says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feast of Israel.'" Except it doesn't say that. What does it say? "The feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations." These are Israel's feast. These are my feast. Capital M. Capital M. My feast. Exactly. So speak to the children of Israel. And if I don't have a whole lot of time to redevelop this, but I talked about this when I talked about the stranger, children of Israel, that's a collective term. If we're saved by faith, we are the spiritual seed of Abraham. So we are children of Israel. So this is not just talking to them. Who is this talking to? It's talking to us. So it's talking to all of us, all of those that claim the faith. Look at verse 3. It says, "6 days work shall be done, but the seventh is a Sabbath of solemn rest." Okay, there's that phrase Shabbaton again. So we've seen that, if you're keeping track, we've seen that phrase Shabbaton a lot. Because he keeps saying the Sabbath is a Shabbaton. It's a Sabbath rest. But look what he says after that. And this is the first time it's mentioned in Scripture, that the Sabbath is a holy convocation. Give me another word for a convocation. A rehearsal. In Hebrew, that word is mikra.
What is that? Mikra.
So this is the first instance where the Sabbath is called a holy rehearsal. What's it rehearsing? So if it's, you know, it's like God gives us a little bit of the puzzle at a time. He gives us a piece at a time until finally he pulls this piece out and says, you know, he's told us for several places. He said it's a Sabbath rest. It's a Sabbath rest. It's a Sabbath rest. And then he throws this in here and says it's a holy convocation, which means the Sabbath rehearses something. It's something important that God says, you're doing this because you're rehearsing something. You're rehearsing something. But the question is, what is it rehearsing? Why is it so important to God? Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And you got to be real careful when you're reading this in the English, because you're going to see the word rest many times between verses 1 and 10, or 1 and 10 in Hebrews chapter 4. But there's one word rest that's different from the rest. I didn't mean that to be a play on words. It just came out. All right, verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, talking about those in the wilderness. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So in other words, you have to be a hearer and a doer of the word. We're in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. Verse 3. For we who have believed will enter that rest as he said. Let me start back over. Verse 3, it says, for we who have believed do enter that rest. That word do should be will. Will enter his rest. As he said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. So you keep hearing that phrase, my rest, my rest, my rest, my rest. That word in Hebrew, if we take it back to the Hebrew, is manucha. So pretty much, not every instance that we see here, but most instances here is the word manucha. And manucha can be a rest from the Lord as well. Verse 4. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way. And God rested on the seventh day from all his work. That's from Genesis 2. That word rested comes from the Hebrew word Shabbat. And again, verse 5, and again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Verse 6, since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, again he designates a certain day. What day?
The seventh.
Well, the day of the Lord too, the day of the Lord. He designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time as it has been. Let's look at that quote. It says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. So that word today speaks of a certain day. Look at verse 8. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have afterwards spoken of another day. So if that rest that God had promised through that he had promised to give to his people was given through Joshua, then he wouldn't have spoken of a different rest. Does that make sense?
No.
Does it make sense?
That rest was the millennial kingdom, like the future way.
Well, it was speaking of that. That's what it's speaking of.
Oh, okay.
That's what verse 9 is going to be talking about. But verse 8, it says, for if Joshua had given them their rest, what did Joshua do with the children of Israel? He led them into the land. The land that was promised to them. If that would have been their rest, then the prophets who came after Joshua would not have been speaking of a different rest.
Mine says, for if Joshua had given them rest, there's no the rest or a rest.
Yeah.
Just rest.
So, yeah, it doesn't say the rest. It's just if
and
Joshua
James
had given them.
It's saying Jesus instead of Joshua.
It's saying Jesus?
Yeah.
It's, Jesus. Well, mine says Joshua.
And my King James
is Jesus. Hmm.
It's Joshua. So this is just a normal rest, is what you're trying to say.
Yeah. Well, like, okay. Let me read verse 9, and then maybe this will drive the point home. Verse 9. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. So if the fulfillment of that rest spoken of here would have just been fulfilled with the children of Israel entering the promised land, that Sabbath rest, so to speak, then there wouldn't have been mentioned by David, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Verse 9, it says, therefore remains a rest. That word rest is a different word. That word rest here is sabbatismos.
Can you spell that?
Yes, I can. Sabbatismos.
And that means what?
That means this is a prophetic picture of the millennial kingdom.
Okay.
So this rest that's mentioned here in verse 9 that says, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. That rest is talking about the Sabbath rest. So if you look at time up until now, there have been 6,000 years. We're close to the 7,000th year. A day to the Lord is as 1,000 years. So if we look at it like that, God worked on 6 days. He rested on the seventh. We've been alive for 6,000 years. We're close to that 7,000th year. We're close to that Sabbath rest that was the prophetic picture that God was setting up from the beginning. So that Sabbath rest, that the reason that we spend so much time every Sabbath, we spend that time resting, remembering, studying God's word, is because it's all a prophetic picture of what God is has in store for us. Yes, ma'am.
So rehearsal means kingdom of God.
Yeah, it's rehearsing something that's coming into the future. So that if you look in verse 9 where it says, there remains therefore a rest. That rehearsal is rehearsing the Sabbath rest, the millennial kingdom, that 1,000 years that Christ reigns on the earth. That's what it's a prophetic picture of. So when God says, work 6 days, rest on the seventh, if we put it in terms of time, the earth has been around approximately 6,000 years. On the seventh day or the 7,000th year, that's a picture of the millennial kingdom.
Okay, so verse 8, that rest is what?
Okay, so like verse 8, it says, for if Joshua had given, if that would have been the millennial king, the rest,
okay.
there wouldn't have been another rest spoken of another day coming, and that would have broken that picture.
Okay, so that rest is just still a rehearsal.
Well, yeah, that would have been like rehearsing the coming rest, so to speak. I hope that kind of cleared things up a little bit. If anyone has any questions, just let me know. I hope that kind of cleared things up. So really, the big verse that I was trying to get to was verse 9. All of these, you know, the children coming into the land of Israel, when they possessed the land, you know, they were at rest, but that wasn't the ultimate rest, so to speak. That wasn't the rest that God had for his people. So the ultimate rest comes when Christ reigns for 1,000 years. That's the Sabbath rest. That's the Sabbatismos spoken of here in verse 9. Because it says, therefore, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. Have we entered that rest yet?
No.
We haven't entered that rest yet. But every Sabbath when we get together and we rest and we praise God and we worship Him and we study His Word, what are we doing? We're rehearsing that day. We're rehearsing. We're getting ready. Because we don't want to be caught off guard like when the thief comes, right? We don't want to be caught off guard. Because if we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says that the day of the Lord comes as a thief to those who are not watching. Let's look over to 1 Thessalonians really quickly. Let's just read it. And this just flows right along with what we're talking about with the Sabbath. Why do we keep the Sabbath? Because it's rehearsing that upcoming Sabbath rest, that 1,000 years where Christ reigns on the earth. I mean, and that's going to be a wonderful time of peace and joy and love. It's going to be wonderful. Chapter 5 in 1 Thessalonians, starting at verse 1, it says, but concerning the times and the seasons, the feast and the festivals. Why do we keep these? Because we're rehearsing something. Because if we look back to chapter 4, Paul just talked about the shout of the voice of the archangel. What feast is that rehearsing? Yom Teruah, the day of the awakening trumpet blast. It's rehearsing the coming of the Lord, the rapture and the resurrection. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. It says, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, because they already do it. They already keep it. Verse 2, it says, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Now, a lot of people stop there and say, well, I don't need to know anything else about it because it's going to come as a thief in the night. Keep reading. Verse 3. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. Keep reading. But you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. So are we supposed to be in darkness concerning the times and the seasons?
No.
No, we're not supposed to be in darkness. God doesn't call us to be ignorant to his things. He says, study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of God. So if this Sabbath is rehearsing something, and what is it rehearsing ultimately? The millennial kingdom. It's rehearsing that 1,000 years, the 7,000th year. It's rehearsing that. Don't you want to be there? And don't you want to know what it is that we're going to be doing? Well, this is part of it. We are learning the scriptures. Because remember in Isaiah 2, he says, they're going to come to the mountain of the Lord. And what's going to go forth from the mountain of the Lord? Torah. So what are we going to be doing in the kingdom? We're going to be learning about God's word. We're going to be praising him. We're going to be worshiping him. So do we do that on the Sabbath when we get together? We learn about the Lord. We praise the Lord. We worship the Lord. We get to know more about him. We rest from all of our labors. So that is ultimately the picture that the Sabbath is painting.
So if the saints are the body of believers, followers of Yeshua, are raptured out of here in the tribulation, who are the guys that are going to be keeping this? I mean, if the Jews haven't...
144,000.
Yeah. It'd have to be the 144,000 teaching the people about this. Because if you look, let's look at Revelation 12.
And aren't the saints going to help rule and reign in the millennial kingdom?
Yeah, in 1,000, yes.
So because we're raptured out of here. Those Jews get born again to have a little bit of youth.
Mm-hmm. Look at Revelation 12. Yeah.
Those
that
do not believe yet will be.
Yeah.
Not just Jews.
Yep. Revelation 12. Yes, ma'am. Oh, I'm sorry. Penny was asking about once we're raptured and resurrected out of here, what about the people who are left? Are they going to be keeping Sabbath? Are they going to be doing all of these different things? Revelation 12, 17, I believe, in my opinion, answers this question. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ or Yeshua the Messiah. So those people that, okay, who's Satan making war with? The saints. And what will the saints be doing? Keeping the commandments. And what is one of the commandments? Keeping the Sabbath.
And it won't be just, at least in my mind, won't be just 144,000. There'll be millions upon millions of people who said, I was wrong.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that must, they must have had something.
Exactly.
And begin, and I think God will open their eyes to see and to believe.
Yeah. You know, and it goes back to what we talked about in 1 Thessalonians 5. I mean, you don't want to be one of those people that's taken off guard. You want to be one that is not in darkness. So that's why Paul prefaces what he says with, concerning the times and seasons, I have no need to write to you, because if you're doing it, you're not going to be in darkness. You're not going to be caught off guard. So,
And yet I read that and had that taught to me from childhood, that the only thing